Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James, the podcast all about getting people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, and the music that have soundtracked their journey. So join me as we open up shop and have a waffle. Welcome to another episode of the Waffle Shop podcast. Today, I'm joined by a little bit of a legend, singer, songwriter, and producer, Sam Sparrow. Welcome to the Waffle Shop.
Hi, thank you for having me.
This is, like I was saying before we record, like this is really surreal because you're actually at one of the first festivals I ever went to, obviously with it being Global Gathering. So this is really weird for me to sit here. Normally I'm in the crowd.
It's really weird for me.
Well, what a start.
Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. You enjoyed the festival.
Loved it. Loved it.
I think it's
it really makes me laugh because I'm pretty sure it ended up with it being, it was supposed to be like a complete like washout, this, that, and the other. And it ends up like being a bit of a heat wave on one of the days. And I remember having to, because it was before I was able to drink. So it was like,
what did you do? Like, did you have like a separate wristband?
Was that I don't know. I'm sure it was. Anyway, I might have got this wrong. But then I remember being that kind of like sunburn. I had to have one of those like metallic blankets.
You got heat stroke.
Yeah, to keep like, yeah, it's great. That to ring my mom.
I'm really sunburned. Can you come get me?
Yeah, real classic. Like, that's actually really embarrassing. I've never told anyone that.
I had really bad, when I did Coachella in, I think it was like 2008 or 2009. And it was, they've moved it now to the spring. Well, it's been cancelled for the last 2 years. But
remember that, distant memory.
Yeah, but it used to be in the middle of summer, and obviously the California desert is just like scorching hot, and it was, you know, 100 and something degrees Fahrenheit, like in the 40s Celsius, and I was so dehydrated and had really bad heat stroke.
Wow.
And like vomited. It was just...
Nice.
So,
yeah. Fond memories of Coachella then. Well, to be fair, speaking of obviously it's not the nicest things to have, it annoys us all with a bit of a heat stroke, but I start each show with the weekly waffle, which is something that's, I'm going to swear, it pisses me off. And in the UK at the minute, obviously we're in the process of coming out of lockdown, and you know, fingers crossed we're all moving in the right direction. But one thing I'm really not looking forward to is having to queue up again at like the bar and stuff. I'm so used to sitting at my table now and just ordering everything through my phone.
Yeah.
It's just like a typical British thing to moan about.
Of queuing. Well, you know, the Brits are like notorious for like mastering the queue.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one queues better than British people. This is just a global fact. Yeah, I'm not a fan. I don't like lining up. I'd rather just stay at home than just wait in the line.
Just rather stay at home and do anything. What about you? I'm going to throw you into the bus here a little bit. What kind of minor inconvenience gets on your nerves?
That's a good question. I mean, there's been so little interaction with humans for such a long time. Most of the things that like irritate me, I see on the internet that are happening in other places. Yeah. Just like people losing their shit and just being just absolute nightmares. There's just a level of tensity that's. I don't know. Everyone's just
kind of like cut it with a knife, couldn't you? Like just like scrolling through, you're like, oh, stop it.
Everyone's just on super edge. And not to get like really dark right out of the bat, but I live in LA and obviously gun violence is a huge, major crisis in this country. And just over, that was the 4th of July weekend, there was like 180 gun deaths in 3 days in this country. It's just absolutely, it's insane. Oh, it's just...
What? That's like, obviously you hear about it like in the UK, but like, I didn't realize that that actually like is like the actual like severity of it.
It's gotten worse this year. It's just, I think there's just everyone's. So here we are talking about mental health and wellness.
Yeah, well, it's what a way to start. It is a very obviously serious topic. So I'd about to say if you're struggling with gun crime, like, speak about it. I'm getting nervous now because I don't know how to respond.
Well, I mean, how do you respond? It's just like, I mean, it's just a political, it's become a political issue rather than like a health and safety issue and like logic. There's just no logic. It's just... No sense.
So is LA home for you now? Because obviously you're like, you're Australian, aren't you? Like that's their home.
Yeah, I moved to LA when I was 10. So most of my life I've lived in LA and I lived in London for a few years, a couple of times, like moved back and forth. But yeah, LA's home. I say like, I'm not native, but I'm local.
Yeah. We'll go with that. The good bits you're local to, the bad bits. Yeah, God, you wouldn't get that in my country. Well, we do. You get it everywhere. It's, well, not as bad there, but I'm doing it again. This is why it's called the waffle shop, by the way, because I have this tendency to like
waffle.
Run away. Yeah. Yeah. It's great for the brand.
You're on brand. It's good.
Exactly. So we have got to talk about the music. Like, I've been a huge fan of yours since, I couldn't even tell you, since you gave me Sunstroke. Is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
But we have got, like, Black and Gold. It is, and like still is, one of those songs that as soon as you hear that kind of, like, that bass at the beginning of that song, like, you know what's coming. And I just remember like being, especially like on when like first start going out and stuff like that, it was the song that everyone kind of ran to the dance floor bout out. But I have got to ask.
That. Yes.
What is it about?
Oh my God, everyone. Yeah, that's the $26 million question. It's, I guess I've answered this question like differently as the years have gone by, but I mean what inspired the song was, I think I was just having a bit of an existential crisis of like, what does it all mean? Like, what is life about? Like, where did we come from? Where did we go? Where did we come from? I don't know. And I just remember like, I don't know, just like having, just feeling really, like deeply disturbed and like looking out into the sky one night and just wondering like, okay, is there a higher power? Is there a God? Like if there is, like I want to experience that.
And yeah.
Like, I want to be, like I want to feel close to that, whatever that is. And so black and gold is like the sky at night, the universe.
That's deep. I felt that then. The Cotton Eye Joe bit, not the other bit.
Yeah,
I always find it really interesting, though, to hear kind of like the stories behind some of these songs, because I always love when it's not what you expect it to, like, what it to be, because it is a huge kind of like, would you class it as like, it's a pop song, isn't it?
Yeah.
And to hear that kind of behind it, like, I love when kind of music takes you to that place.
Well, I think, on a subconscious level, maybe that's why it resonated so much with so many people, because I think it's human nature to like explore that and like have questions about, you know, spirituality in the world and like the meaning of life and all those things. And so whether people realize that that's what they were listening to or not, I think on a subconscious level, they responded that way.
I feel like every time like you hear it, especially like now, listen to it and as an adult, like it kind of hits like a lot differently now. Like, yeah, now when I listen to that back now, like I'm going to be like lying awake at night, like, oh my God, the stars, the universe.
It's too much. But I think for me, that's always been something like unintentionally, I've always kind of written about, I don't know, things that are a bit deeper, but like put them in a pop song and I don't know, put them on the dance floor or whatever. But I think more often than not, there's like a deeper meaning to stuff that I've written. And I mean, I was going through an EP that I put out a few years ago, which was called Quantum Physical 3 Conspiracy. That was like, and it was kind of a conceptual EP where I was addressing like gun violence and the opioid epidemic and you know, like global surveillance. I mean, it sounds like a bit poncy, but if you listen to it, it's like quite a fun.
No, but I feel like I have, because I feel like, is this you? I don't know if it's this one or another EP that you put out. You have a song with Daniel Merriweather.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And it, like yourself, like as soon as you hear that kind of like vocal, you know exactly who's singing. Because obviously I didn't know who's on it. So when the first time I listened to that, and then obviously enjoying it, because obviously it was your voice, and then hearing his. And then who's the rapper? Like there's like a female rapper.
Yeah, her name's Imani Fella. She's from Washington, D.C. She lives here in L.A. She's a friend of mine. She's such a great rapper.
Amazing.
Yeah, lyricist. So, yeah, that was, I mean, that song was kind of about basically the medical, like, opioid crisis and, like, how, you know, these companies are like...
I'm never going to be able to listen to these songs again the same after this chat.
The reason why I brought that up is because I was listening to one of the songs, which is called, oh my God, it sounds like really intense, but it's called Fukushima Fish. And it's just about how when one thing happens in another place, the kind of the whole world is like affected by it. And,
yeah.
You know, in one way or another. And one of the lyrics is, why is the water on fire? And then just seeing what's happening.
Oh, Mexico. Oh,
yeah. It's like, why is
it? Wait, hang on a minute. Are you like, are you predicting? Are you like the Simpsons?
I'm Nostradamus.
I'm just going to wake up tomorrow and everything's just going to be black and gold everywhere.
And then in another song, you know, 21st Century Life, I was singing about buying weed out of vending machines. And now that you can buy weed out of vending machines.
I'm going to have to go back through all these, like, I'm going to have to go to, like, A to Z lyrics or something and just, like, read every line and write it down. I was like, you heard it here first. Told you, we called it.
It's kind of weird. I mean, because a lot of times when I write, I'm just kind of writing the things. I feel like I'm just downloading information from, like, somewhere else.
Are you a time traveler?
Oh, I wish. I'm just, like, a highly anxious overthinker.
Okay. But if you are, could you go and get me like next week's lottery numbers?
I would definitely do that, like some Back to the Future sports almanac. Yeah.
Appreciate that. I feel like we're best friends now, so.
Anyway, I've just gone off on a full, like...
waffle, told you.
Tory tangent about how I can predict the future.
No, but I like it.
I can.
I feel like this whole chat was not what I was expecting. I feel like, in the nicest way possible, you're a bit like an onion. Like, you've got so many layers that I wasn't expecting to be this, like deep with all this stuff. I love it. You can have that.
I fooled you with the pop music.
Reeled me right in. Global Gathering at that year reeled me right in. I'm going to go back and they'll be like, there'll be a lyric about like waffling with Taylor or something in one of your earlier songs. Like, wow, that's how he's done it.
I don't think I do have that, unfortunately. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
One of the things I wanted to ask about was kind of like your influences and how kind of like your musical journey started. Because I find it really interesting. Like, how did you know, like, that was what you wanted to do?
Well, everyone in my family pretty much is a was a musician going back, like, generations. And it was like,
wow.
Yeah, my dad's a musician still to this day. He's a singer-songwriter and producer as well. And my grandfather was a jazz musician and trumpet player and arranger for television and films and stuff like that. And then... my great-grandmother, who I ever knew, was she played the piano in like silent movie theaters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she was like
a talented family.
The film. And I mean, I grew up singing in church and like, you know, singing with the family and just always being into music. But I think my dad was like not fond of the idea of like, and my brother's a musician too. I think he was like, I hope my kids like do something else.
No pressure.
Yeah. I think he just thought like, oh, it can be really challenging and unstable and, you know, unpredictable. And
yeah,
that's what makes it worthwhile, I think.
No, I love that. So what, like musically, like what were your kind of, what was the first CD you ever bought?
Oh my God. Well, this is going to really age me, but like the first, I think, I mean, I grew up like mostly having cassettes, you know, cause I'm from the 80s. And I think I remember the first CD that I actually bought with my own pocket money was TLC, like their first album. And I think I also bought like Toni Braxton and Queen Latifah. I was really into hip hop and R&B in the 90s. Like my brother was really into like grunge and indie rock and like metal and like a bit of hip hop too. Like he was into Tupac. But the bands that my brother and like the bands that we all kind of appreciated together were Queen and Steely Dan.
Yeah.
And you know, my mom was really into Sade and Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder and all that kind of stuff. So
your house must have had like the best music collection. Like, was there like music always on in the background, like growing up?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, definitely. There was a lot of, always. And then also I spent a lot of time in my grandparents' house growing up with jazz and bit of like musical theater, but yeah, mostly like a lot of jazz and old like vocalists from the 40s and 50s. And
I love hearing stuff like this.
And then as I got older, I got really into dance music and electronic music. And one of the things that really influenced me a lot, I mean, I became such an Anglophile. Because I remember going to the UK in the late 90s, like around, I think, 96, 97. My dad was on tour there and we spent like a few months
Amazing. In
the UK. And I was obsessed with Kiss FM and going to like Camden and buying mixed CDs, like compilations with all these dance records, and UK garage was kind of emerging. Yeah. And also like Prodigy and like Bristol stuff, you know, Gold, like all this drum and bass.
Yeah.
And that was like really exciting to me. So
I love that the UK has that. I mean, I know everywhere has it, but like every kind of little part of the UK like has something like different. It's like the Manchester, you've got like the whole kind of like Britpop thing. It's like everywhere you go to has like something completely different. Like where I'm from, it's like Coventry. It's like ska music. We had like the Specials and people like that. Like it's, I could sit and talk about music all day, every day, and how it like does this.
That was what was really interesting before the time of the globalization of culture, which come about from the internet and just everyone being everywhere at the same time, was these scenes were so unique to the location that they were in, and they were out of community and just in people influencing each other. And I don't think that that exists in the same way anymore.
No, it's all very... I don't want to say this because I'm kind of, well, I don't know if I am classed as a millennial, I don't know, but it's all very kind of, it's all for show now. It's all very kind of, can I post this or can I go to this? Can I do this? Because of what other people think, not because I actually like going and doing something. And I feel like back then, like that didn't really like exist. Like my dad used to hold like, I don't know if I can say this, but well, I'm going to say it anyway. It's my show, but like he used to host like illegal raves and stuff, like acid house and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he didn't care. Like all those people were literally there to have a good time and like kind of forget about everything else that's going on. Whereas now it's obviously very, there's a lot of like music snobbery, I feel, at the, like in this kind of age group. Like people would kind of judge you for listening to a certain type of thing.
I don't like to just shit on the times and everything that people are doing now, because I think there's a lot of great stuff now too, but it's just, it's different. And, you know, you talked about illegal raves and parties like that. I mean, I remember going to raves where you had a flyer that had no information on it, and you would have to go to, man, I sound a billion years old. You had to go to a payphone and call this number, and they would tell you where the party was. Like the night of.
We should bring that back.
But there's just so much surveillance now.
Yeah, it's true. So again, I'm going to kind of flip it around again, because I love hearing about like your influences and stuff like, and I love asking this question, especially when like I've got a musical guest on the show. But can you remember the first song that made you like feel something?
Feel anything, just
anything
specific. I think I need more time to think about that. I would listen to a lot of Michael Jackson when I was a kid, and I remember being just blown away by that, and the song Human Nature. There's something about that song that there's a like a curiosity and a whimsy about it, that I remember as a child being really moved.
I love that. Big song.
Yeah.
I love that question, because like you can kind of see the kind of hate in like the guest side. So like, I can't believe you just asked me that and not prepared me. But I like it, like makes you think. Like it makes you kind of like delve back a little bit into like...
I had to time travel.
Yeah, see, right before my eyes. You were that fast, I didn't even see it. You're talented.
Oh my goodness. I guess I am a time traveler in that sense. I've always been very nostalgic. And I don't know if it's because I moved around so much growing up, and have lived in different countries and have had kind of disassociated from my surroundings, like my present surroundings.
Yeah.
About like, oh, maybe things were better in that time and place. Always like my most recent album was all about my childhood and the music that I grew up listening to and recording off the radio. So there's, it's really influenced by the early 90s and the late 80s and Janet
Jackson. Really weird. What one of the words that you just used was obviously nostalgia. When I first heard Boombox, I need to get that right because I nearly said it wrong when I was like practicing, not practicing in my head. Boombox external.
Eternal.
What am I talking about? See, I'm nervous now. The time travel, I like, it's like, because we'll go back in time and re-record this and then like, it'll be fine. But that's exactly how that album made me feel. It was like I was back kind of like growing up, listening to the songs. Because I still did it. I still like recorded it with them on my tape, like the top 40. And hearing those kind of songs, like, you know, everything off the album, I just got like a real kind of, I think it was Everything or one of the other ones. I just got like a real like old school, like Janet Jackson vibe.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh my God. Like, yeah. And I did that kind of thing when like I had my headphones in. I was like, ooh, you know, I did that like that was funny when I first heard it. Yeah. Like I'd love it.
Oh, that's what
but that's
I
one of the things it made me feel was nostalgic. Like, oh God. And then I kind of made a playlist on the back of that of like, you know, like Together Again, like Janet Jackson and stuff like that. God, this interview is going great.
Going great.
Yeah. Also, would like, you say that was like the influences behind it?
Yeah, all the pop and R&B that I grew up listening to that just made me, yeah, fall in love with pop music and, you know, all the stuff. Yeah, like I used to tape off the radio and listen to in my room with headphones on and dance in front of the mirror. I think that it was a really, an album that I needed to make to sort of reignite my love for producing and writing music.
Yeah.
It did. I mean, I just had so much fun making this album.
You can hear that, to be fair. Listen to it.
Good.
It makes you want to get up.
Good.
Yeah. And I looked at, you know what I really love about, obviously I know the pandemic has been a real kind of, obviously, shower of shit for everyone involved, but I love how it's kind of, it's broken down this kind of trend in music. You know, normally like you'd see like, and then when everything started coming out, like at the start of a year, everything would kind of sound quite similar. Whereas this year, and I feel like it's, and even last year, sorry, and it's filtering to this year, like I feel like everyone's making the music that they want rather than the music yes. that other people, they think other people want to hear. And like, what, like yours, to be fair, but Jessie Ware as well, like this year has been a big kind of, I don't know, it just reminds me of growing up. And I love that that's the kind of sounds that are coming now. It's the songs that they want to make.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard the new Laura Mvula album as well.
Oh my God. Yes.
Really.
Got Me.
Yeah.
Is, yes.
It's so good. I think there's a bit of a like similar direction in some of the stuff to where I was coming from musically. And it's a really well-produced and fun album.
Oh, I haven't told anyone of that. I've listened to that like as of yet, but yeah, that's put a massive smile on my face because I'm really enjoying that at the minute.
Yeah. Good. I love it. I think she's brilliant, but I agree. I think the pandemic made everyone just do a lot of self reflection and just think like, well, you know, life is really short and unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know how much time you've got. And, you know, why are we on autopilot? Just this like capitalism cycle of rat race. I don't know. Just it forced people to think, well, what do I want to do?
100%.
So I think we're going to be going into a time of like kind of a cultural reset. And
I think it's needed.
Yeah.
Because I personally, like, I wouldn't be sat here having this conversation with you if I didn't ask myself those questions like in like March last year. So I'm very grateful of being in a position where I was like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to, you know, express myself. I want to throw myself into something different. And luckily it's led me to have a waffle with my first time traveler. So it's worked out all right.
I'm happy for you that you've like done that and made that choice and that leap.
How have you, like, throughout the pandemic, like, how have you kept yourself going?
I've done a lot of Zooming.
I don't know.
I've definitely felt very connected to friends and family and community because of the technology that we have now.
Yeah.
It was definitely in the beginning very surreal, but I think after a few months, I think we all adjusted in our own way and found like what worked for us. And it definitely forced me to get closer to a lot of the people that I really wanted to be close with. And then a lot of the, you know, the friends, the acquaintances really.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to in a year. Some of them, I don't even remember their names. Is that bad?
They're here tonight.
We brought them all. Yeah, I don't, did you find that?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Kind of I feel like it's completely reevaluated my whole kind of outlook on life, like my circle, like my friendship circle, like every aspect has kind of changed. And honestly, I feel like it's changed for the better.
Yeah.
Like I feel like a completely different person in a good way.
Yeah.
To where I was a year ago.
I agree. It's been, I'm really grateful for the year that, I mean, I know that there's been a lot of, you know, really bad things that have happened to a lot of people, and sickness and people losing loved ones and friends. And I think at this point we all know someone that's lost their life to the virus and whatnot. But in a lot of ways, the, you know, the good side of that is just what we've talked about, just becoming more self-aware, connected to what we really want to do with our lives, and forming, I think for me, definitely forming deeper connections with a lot of people.
I feel like that's like word of the day today. Deep.
Deep.
Yeah. Deep. Oh, God. It's going to be goosebumps. This past weekend, I was
really sunburned on this.
So you did? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm looking. Sorry, I've got distracted by my Zoom square and I just look like really red.
Anyway. Well, how the tables are turned. Last time I saw you, I was red. Do you want the metal blanket?
Yes. Can I?
This weekend I was lucky enough to go to one of the first festivals in the UK. And it was actually headlined by someone who you've collaborated with in the past, Basement Jacks. And it was phenomenal. Like, I cannot tell you how good it was to be back out in a field with a beer listening to live music. Have you missed it?
In some ways, yes. Definitely the live aspect. By the way, that's a great first show. I mean, the Basement Jacks are one of like my favorite live acts.
Oh, and God.
But like, they just put on such a good show and they have so many bangers. And
like Feelings Gone. One of the best.
It was such a dream come true to work with them. Honestly, I'm such a fan of theirs. And when I first moved to the UK, when I was like 18, I moved to Brixton and I used to see, you know, Felix and Simon around and like kind of fanned out and just like, oh my God, that's the Basement Jacks. I worked in this restaurant.
He came on the show. I think it was like, for my first like anniversary, like of the show. And my voice was, I was quite clearly that excited to talk to him about obviously all the songs and like, obviously, because they're huge. Like, I still listen to them like pretty much at least once a day. And like, my voice is so high pitched. I was that excited to talk to him. like never talking to this guy again.
How was he, the sweetheart?
Absolutely. Like, he's just a legend. It's, I love how his kind of story and how he got into music, like you would never think that, you know, someone with like a very religious background and like with like a priest for a dad, like created some of like the best dance music, like in my opinion, like ever. It's, yeah. And I love how it kind of, yeah, I don't know. I love them. I'm a huge fan. And Gabrielle was there.
At the festival?
Yeah, it was Gabrielle and then Basement Jaxx.
Amazing.
Yeah, I had a whale of a time.
Dreams can come true.
Yes, they do.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, I did my first festival performance, my first live performance. Was it like a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe? It was like a gay, LGBTQ plus pride festival in LA, and it was because of the restrictions that we still had in place at the time, it was very, very limited attendance, but it was also in a stadium. So it was very surreal having this like gigantic stadium with just like a few hundred, maybe 1,000 people in there. But it was streamed on Twitch.
Yeah. So,
like, you know, thousands of people watching it online, which was cool. But I mean, for me, like, I do miss being on stage. I've gotten, especially as I've gotten older, become a bit more like introverted and a little bit like I get claustrophobic and I get overwhelmed when there's too many.
Yeah.
But I love being on stage in front of thousands of people. Like, that feels very manageable and comfortable, which is really weird.
Well, it's your safe space, isn't it? Like, up there.
And I feel like I'm in control.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I've seen you kind of command that stage, so yes, you were definitely in control. Is there plans to tour once you're allowed to?
Yeah, there's not like concrete plans in terms of dates and, you know, anything like that, but I do definitely want to tour. I'm making another album right now, and I think once, which is, by the way, a completely different direction than the last one, but I think once I'm done with that, it'd be kind of cool to tour both of these albums.
Yeah.
As a tour, and definitely love being on stage and connecting with an audience that way.
Is there anything you can kind of tell us about the new album?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you about it. Who knows if it'll be... I mean, things tend to morph and take shape the further that I go into, you know, work with them. But right now, actually, there's a lot of very UK influence on this album. It's very up-tempo. It's like a lot of dance music. You know, little elements of drum and bass and garage and house. But also, I'm trying to push myself into new territory of... like innovating, taking those elements and trying to like innovate a bit.
This is exciting.
So it's fun. I'm still in the kind of research and development phase.
Yeah.
I tend to do a lot of broad sketches of songs and then as I get towards the end, just like kind of build in the details more.
There's one thing I've got to say, it just popped into my head when you were talking about kind of like very UK vibe. I saw recently that, well, it's on the album, you did a song with Emenike.
Yeah.
And I need to, if you ever like speak to him again, can you tell him I said sorry? Because I think about this quite a lot. You know, when you did one of those stupid things like 5-6 years ago and that you always think about it.
Yes. Like,
and it winds you up terrible. This is the kind of overthinking, anxious person I am. Yeah. I went to a gig it was for Radio 1 and Gorgon City were playing and he was there to sing Ready For Your Love. And I bumped into him and I called him M-Neck. And now, yeah. And now he's one of the most like, I mean, his production and in writing and stuff like that, like I'm a massive, massive fan. And I still think about that. Almost, you know, every day.
I doubt he would even remember because...
No, he would definitely not remember.
I mean, now he's at the point where he's so, you know, well-known and successful.
Yeah.
that's how to pronounce his name for the most part. But yeah, people used to always call him Mnet. Must have been really annoying.
It's really embarrassing because, like, obviously my name's Taylor and I get called Tyler all the time and it winds me up. So I can't, well, I can imagine how he must have been stood there thinking, like, what a dickhead. Just get away from me.
I think he'd probably just learn to accept it at that point.
I feel like I've got closure on now on this podcast. Thank you. Dead or alive, if you could either write, collab, or produce for, who would it be?
Oh my goodness. Now, because you've said dead, now I'm thinking about all the dead people. And I'm just realizing, wow, so many of the artists that I grew up listening to are dead.
Rest in peace.
No, it's crazy. I mean, I think, I don't know, Beyonce just like keeps coming to mind.
She bought me a pizza once.
Okay, what? She bought you a pizza?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me the rest of that story.
One of my exes was a huge Beyonce fan, and I got our tickets to see, like, she was doing like some TV show for like ITV, like One Night with Beyonce. And like, we were stood in like this little place, like waiting to go in, and a load of pizzas came through. They're like, oh, these are from the Carters. Thank you for waiting. I mean, it's not like I bumped into a drunk, like in a kebab shop or something, but I thought it's still quite a cool story.
Thoughtful.
Yeah. Like and bottles of water. It was a very hot day. That's quite nice considering the last time I was at a festival watching someone on stage and it was really hot. I didn't remember you passing out bottles of water.
I know. What a dick. Just carrying on as if nothing had happened.
Sam, thank you so much for joining me for a waffle. This is not what I expected at all, but I feel like it's been one of like my favorites to record because it's just gone off in every direction other than what I wanted to talk about. So thank you.
I've recently been diagnosed with ADHD. So now now I'm aware of like, wow, I really just go off on these tangents.
Well, if I probably should go and get myself checked out then, because I feel like I'm carving a career out of this.
I think we've all at this point a bit, you know, that way.
Yeah.
It's the scrolling epidemic.
Definitely. Definitely.
Thank you for having me, and best of luck, and hopefully I'll be able to come over there soon and give you some more entertainment.
I hope so.
Hot. Hope you have a better experience next time if I do a show.
Honestly, you're an absolute legend, and I can't stop listening to the new album, and I'm so excited to hear for what's coming next. You're a legend. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Taylor.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.